live from the Ghost Hunter Store. Brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
We're going to do something a little different tonight since we haven't been around for 2 weeks, and we apologize for that. There's been a lot of extracurricular activity occurring at the store, and we had to take care of that. We're going to do a show based on EVPs tonight, which is going to be interesting since that means I have to click on many different screens and try to do all technical stuff. And any of you that listen regularly know, just as I just started with the intro with the wrong song, that we always have some sort of technical difficulties. So, first off, the idea we talked about this show before, just as a concept, because I know when we listen to or you watch TV shows, it seems like the producers pick the most
muffled. Yeah. Sounding, yeah,
the tinniest, really, the one that they have to put the subtitle across the bottom to let you know what is being said, and then most of us can't hear it either. That may happen because that's the one that, for whatever situation that was in, the producer likes that one the best, and they're not interested in quality or integrity or how good the investigator looks overall. But there are a lot of groups that they listen to that, and they use, because it's on TV again, or it's on a show, radio show, or anything else. They look at that, and they look at that as the benchmark, and that's the kind of sound that is good enough or acceptable for people to use. And yeah, really, that's not the case. You really want an A class is crystal clear and very crisp and doesn't need much editing. I know when I give my classes. And I teach the trainings, or I do the Ghost Hunting 101 here. When we get to the EVP part, it's one of the few areas that has classifications that everybody recognizes, first of all. An A, B, and C. First of all, an A class is something that everybody hears and everybody agrees that it's those words being said. A B class is more, it's still clear, it's still a voice that doesn't belong. But it's there might be differing interpretations, and we're going to have some samples of some B-class ones here so you guys can get an idea. But it's basically, there might be two different things that people hear.
Yeah.
They sound similar, but everyone agrees that it's still a voice.
You can get the cadence of the word or the phrase, but you can't quite make out exactly what's being said.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and a C-class, which to me I don't use as evidence, is anything else. Might be noises, muffled sounds, whispers, things like that, that you really have to be sure that isn't something in a distance. Or if it's words that you can't make out at all and no one can, you don't want to be turning them as evidence, especially to like people who, if you're doing a private home or something like that, because maybe they will hear something when they listen to it 500 times.
Right.
And the thing they may hear may be like, get out or I'll kill you. Even though it's so muffled that you couldn't make it out, that's what they're going to hear now forever, and they're going to take a whole different twist on it, and you're going to be back out there dealing with people who are very, very upset now. So with C-class stuff, I don't even consider that really valuable evidence. Now, there are people who are very good with using the various audio software, whether it's Cool Edit Pro, Adobe Audition,
WavePad,
Audacity. The list goes on and on. There's a lot of them. Even like I just got the Roxio Pro,
okay,
video creator, but it has a whole audio suite into it now. So now I'm able to do like really expanded, not just add soundtracks to video. I can do a lot of EVP editing just with that. Now the problem with EVP editing is most of us aren't sound engineers. So most of us do not have any idea what we're doing when we're playing around. So the software is so powerful that you could actually take me dropping my camera on the floor and probably turn that into 3 or 4 crisp, clear words. That's how strong even some of the basic software is. If you play around with the filters, the pitch, the bend, Some people do reverse. Mm-hmm. Then they start running all these other filters that they have no idea what they mean. Cool Edit Pro was like something that we used to go to years ago. I still use it because I'm kind of familiar with the filters. But there's abbreviations and types of filters and different names of like the schematics of how the sound is cascading and all this other. I don't understand any of that. And most people don't. So the more you play around with something, the more you're creating something that isn't really there. So my rule of thumb is you can usually, most people can figure out, or I know I have like a tutorial up through the Ghost Hunter store on how to use Audacity and how to just run a sound filter or how to get a noise filter.
Right.
And run that through. And basically what you do is you capture and highlight an area of dead sound in the recording, an area where no one's talking and there's no sound. That's the noise level. That's the background noise. You save that as the filter. And then when you go to the noise filter, it asks you to load your filter. That's the filter.
Right.
And there are tutorials even in most programs that walk you through how to do it.
Yeah.
But you just have to pick like maybe a 1 or 2 second clip. But doing that enables you now to use the sound that was in the room to remove that sound as noise. And then it sounds like a lot, but this is total of maybe 30 seconds work here.
Yeah, but if you don't use that filter, you end up with that canned sound where the echo thing that goes on where it takes everything out.
If you start using the sliders and all the other things, it's Mr. Roboto talking.
Mm-hmm.
Or you sound like exactly like you're on two end of two tin cans. And you may have the words now crystal clear and you understand what's being said, but when you're playing that for evidence, you're like, even how I am and other people watching or listening, whenever we hear stuff like that, it becomes unbelievable only because it sounds like it was digitally created.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have that. You want to lose that. Now, some places that you record, there's going to be ambient echo and stuff like that and reverb. That's something that's, unless you're a sound engineer and really know what you're doing, you're not going to be able to remove much of that. So what I always recommend is, if you really need to, and always do this with a duplicate, save your original copy of your EVP because you want that as evidence. The second one I always name as revised or edited somehow, and how many times I've edited it. And even if with now with the long names, you can even put what you did, like noise filter, amplify, which are the only two things I do. I may amplify a clip, which doesn't mean amplify just the words that you think are the EVP, because that sounds ridiculous. When you hear someone saying, what's your name? Dave! And, it's crazy. I mean, it's obvious someone manipulated something. And right there, anybody's listening to it and looking for realism or looking for, valid proof, and they're looking as that as evidence, the normal person is going to say, okay, that's not it. Right. Because you've tinkered with it, obviously, way too much.
Well, yeah, as soon as you hear it, and they hear the static level go up,
Yeah, you hear that too. It's almost like you're listening to the record and the hiss and the crackle and everything goes up. So it really doesn't work. So just amplify the whole clip if you need to raise some levels. That's fine. You're not altering anything. And you can also do a simple basic noise filter. Now, some things like Cool Edit Pro come with preset noise filters and they have them named. I use one that's called voicemail and...
Yeah, one I have is an answering machine.
Answering machine and voicemail. Yeah. It's like two different ones like that. They're just a combination of preset filters that do it instead of you hitting all the sliders. But it takes everything out. It's not robotic, not tinny. Now, if I wanted to, I could start tampering with all the sliders and the switches and the buttons and everything and make it sound like Mr. Roboto and get it maybe the words clearer. But again, then it sounds like a robot talking and you lose the human part. Because you'll find in a lot of good EVPs, there may be a slight... sense of emotion to it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have even the ones we played from our friend in Canada when he was on the show. He had some that were had inflections in them and different accents.
Right.
That you could almost tell. Like there was one, I believe, he had like a French accent.
French, yeah.
So it's that's what people always, why don't we get stuff in different languages? Why don't we get stuff like that? Well, people that work over in Europe do get things in different languages. People who, the original EVPs recorded, were in, I believe, it was either in Danish or German.
German, I think.
Yeah. So it wasn't like English was the first language of EVPs. So it does happen, but sometimes you can pick up a, you know, a really cool accent, and then you can remove it completely by, you know, playing around with the noise filter just so you can get the words clearer. It's not a good practice to get into. And so, you know, even if you've been doing this for years, you know, take a step back and look at it and try using less and see what you get and play those EVPs for people and see the responses you get. And I bet you get more positive responses about the quality of the EVPs than you do than you did before. You'll get less people like looking at you with that funny little look because it sounds very robotic.
Well, a lot of people, even if they can't understand it, but they hear it, it's like, oh, yeah, I did hear that. Oh, yeah, there it is. I hear that voice. There's a voice there. It just acknowledges that, yes, there is something in your house making that voice.
Right.
As opposed to needing to know exactly what it said.
Now, if you want to get more technical and you have something like Cool Edit Pro or any program that's going to show you what hertz range the voice is in, and usually it's going to do it in like a graphic form with a
waveform.
Yeah, it's not going to be in the waveform. It's going to be in a graphic screen with multicolors. Usually the whites are the hots. And
the spectral view, yeah.
Yeah, the spectral view. Yeah. There's actually a program, a free program called Spectral View that you can download too that will do the same thing. Because you'll be able to see where your question and you anyone else speaking, but then you'll see where the EVP pops up. There are a few EVPs that we've gotten over the years that are definitely below 300 hertz, well below 300 hertz, which is below what the human vocal cords can do. The human vocal cords range is 300 to 3,000 hertz. So when you get the majority of the word or all of the word completely below that range, it couldn't have been made by human vocal cords. And we'll play one for you, and when you hear it and you hear how clear and how human it sounds, and then you hear that couldn't possibly be made by human vocal cords, that's like one of the, like the Holy Grail style EVPs that you get. And if you would have edited that and played around with it and then run the spectral view analysis on it,
you ruined it
and you lost it. Because now it's not going to show you definitely where it really was originally. That's why you need to keep your original clips. Another word of advice is try not to clip off at the beginning of the EVP or whatever the word is, and at the end.
Yeah, give it space.
Everyone's ears needs to kind of, you know, adjust to the sound level and everything. I like 5-6 seconds before and after.
Yeah, even if you have somebody talking in the clip, but, you know, even if it's not even part of the EVP, they're just randomly talking, leave it in there so that people can kind of catch up to the EVP.
And they can also compare the difference of the voice, the people speaking,
right,
along with the EVP and what that sounds like. And if you're going to go do more in-depth spectral analysis, you want those human voices in there so you can compare where they lay in the spectral analysis as opposed to where the spirit voice winds up.
Well, I've seen people clip it and listen to the original, and you can hear it. The one EVP is really loud, and then they clipped it off. But if they listened a little bit longer, you could hear just something a little bit lower trailing off.
Right, another little faint thing.
They missed it, you know. Yeah,
there might be multiple EVPs on there, or it might have been something that was like, it was a loud one, then it got weaker and weaker. And or some people are just really afraid to put other people talking in there because they're afraid it's going to be confusing.
Right.
Probably half of my investigators record all the time. I don't know, I think you record all the time. So they get a lot of EVPs. Now, granted, you're going to have to listen to everything you've recorded the whole time, however many hours. So you're going to have the time to review all that. But you're probably going to find a lot more EVPs than I personally. I just do like 30-second EVP attempts, 30 seconds to a minute, say, where I'm just doing bursts where I'll ask a bunch of questions, maybe three or four, and pause in between, waiting for answers that way. And you know, that works successfully too. But obviously, if you leave the recorder recording for 3 or 4 hours, you're just increasing the likelihood you're going to get something. Yeah. Just being patient enough and, you know, focused enough to review all that and stay awake while you're doing it.
Yeah,
and
well, a lot of times I find that doing questions, I don't get as many EVPs, but just as I'm walking through the building or randomly talking to somebody, they'll actually interject themselves. Or, you know, somebody's walking by, I've gotten some beautiful EVPs that say, excuse me, or sorry, or, you know, as you're walking past them. So
yeah, a lot of we're gonna play some of our EVPs that we've gotten over the years that we use at some of our lectures. And I'd probably say more than half of them are ones that were just interjected, were just thrown in to a conversation that we were unaware of. Yeah, this is back in the day. This is post, I think they're all post tape recorder, but they're all using like just the earliest basic digital recorders. Even pre-USB, because I know this, everyone's caught up in the USB craze. Another little tidbit for everybody, you do not have to use the USB cable to hook it to your computer. Some of you, depending on the brand you have bought of your USB recorder, it may import the wave sound or the audio sounds in as MP3s or AIF files or something else that your editor doesn't recognize, and you have to convert it. So now you've already added an extra step in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you just, anyone using Windows or even Mac has a built-in program, you can hook up the headphone jack of your audio recorder to your mic-in jack of your computer and use either, like Windows has Windows Sound Recorder, right. Or if you have Audacity, Acoustic Pro, or WavePad, you can use that. Just start, press play on your recorder, and you can record the whole thing, or you can record just the video, audio clips you want. And when you can save it, it's saved in the right format, and it's already in your editor. I mean, you're reducing two or three steps there. I still do it that way. You're not losing any quality.
I do it with the new recorder. I have one of the new recorders. And I still do it that way because I don't sit and listen to my audio for 4 hours at a time. I do things, and I make notes as I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So if I find something, I'll make note at a time. And then I just take those clips in and take care of those clips.
So it does make it easier. The RTVP, that's a whole other, you know, animal where
yeah.
It allows you to know in real time whether you've gotten an EVP.
But even with that, I've gotten EVPs that I didn't hear. I've gone back and listened and found EVPs that I didn't hear or didn't respond to.
Okay.
Because
you're still listening with your ears, sometimes going back playing them.
Yeah.
You know, you still have headphones on when you're using the RTVP, but when you go back, I guess. I know I don't use, when I'm playing back my EVPs, I don't use headphones. I have a surround sound on my computer,
yeah.
And I just turn it up to 11 and let it blast through the whole house. So it'd be like very hard to miss if I have an EVP. So all right, well let's play a couple EVPs here, and we'll kind of explain some of them. The reason why we picked some of them, there's specific points we like to make when we do lectures. Other ones, I can give you a little bit of a story behind them. You know why we do them that, or why we use that one, or why we did something a certain way. I think the first one I'm going to do here is one that is considered a B-class. I hear one thing, and other people hear something completely different. Okay, now I hear, I used to work in here.
I hear it's dark in here.
Other people will hear, it's dark in here. Now, I can hear that too after all the years of saying it, mm-hmm. but I still predominantly hear, I used to work in here. Now, again, I might be tainted because at the time of the recording, there was an apparition standing there that we had seen numerous times in this theater. This was recorded in the Ritz Theater in New Jersey. Over the many, many investigations there, there's one spirit that people who work there know very well, and people who have investigated there know pretty well, too. It's a gentleman that likes to sit behind people, and you know because he breathes very, very heavy. Mm-hmm. So you can hear him. We call him the heavy breather, or the breather. He has like a handlebar mustache, a little like a beanie cap kind of deal on, dressed like from the 1920s. Which is still like the era that this theater was operational. It was a vaudeville theater.
Yeah.
The vaudeville actors actually slept upstairs, which is now the dressing rooms,
yes.
Or the practice rooms. They were almost like apartments for the vaudeville actors. Then it went to the burlesque theater. Then it went to a movie theater. Then it went to an adult movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's back to a locally run and supported theater,
yeah.
With a local theater group and other smaller theater groups coming in to do plays and stuff. So it's got quite a history to it. But that now is, that's a pretty clear, that would be considered an A-class EVP, or a B-class, I'm sorry, because we know that voice doesn't belong. There was no one there that was speaking at the time.
We don't whisper.
Yeah, this one, though, however, was recorded when someone was just leaving their recorder run.
Mm-hmm.
The person who recorded it was actually standing there, and it was her first time ever seeing an apparition. So she was describing it to me, and I could see him, too. And when we were having that conversation, that EVP popped up. And that's why I think I used to work here. And even though it may be it's dark in here, either way, it could have still been that same spirit saying that, because mm-hmm. it would make sense. We had all the lights out. It was completely dark in there.
Yeah, and you were standing in the dark, so maybe he was trying to make a point.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing, Way, standing in the dark like that? But that's probably one of the classic examples that we have of a B-class EVP. It's still good evidence, but it's just that disagreement on exactly what's being said, but there's something definitely being said.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. All right, here's our next one here. All right, that's another one that was just at random. It's a very high-pitched high.
Yeah.
If you hear that rattling sound, it almost sounds like we didn't amplify that at all. It sounds like whatever's there is actually so close to the microphone or so close to the speaker.
Static on it.
It's like rattling it. That's why this is like one that not edited. We could have edited it out and probably like lowered the volume a little bit, made it sound a little clearer and cleaner. But we left it as is simply because the impact it has by hearing how high it is
and how close it was
and how close it seems to be to mm-hmm. the recording device itself, that adds something to it altogether that you would miss if you start editing stuff out. Like, you know, keep it pristine, keep it as pristine as possible. Now this is from this is about a minute earlier at the same private house. You're going to hear some other people talking and you're going to hear another voice chime in.
This EVP was recorded as the investigators began walking up the stairs to the attic.
And you can see that that's not going to play, so... that's one of my comments from actually the... I'll see if I can find that EVP. But we're going to go to another one now anyway. Alright. Here's another friendly spirit. This was at a friend's meeting house. I believe it's right down the street in Mount Holly here is where we recorded this one at. Now, this one probably goes back probably about 8 or 9 years. Today, had someone turned that EVP in, I would have told them, give me the original back and take your fingers off the buttons.
Yeah.
Because that's an example of someone you can hear. It sounds a little artificial, a little like a robot. Yes, the hello is a lot more clear, but you hear that the hum, the buzz, and then the metallic voice that can only come from someone playing really heavy on the slider of trying to reduce the background noise, which in this case made the word clearer, but it actually takes away from the EVP itself. It probably was something that was very, very faint and had maybe a little bit of a hiss or crackle, and someone thought they were doing, you know, the client or the group a favor by really, really cleaning it up good. But in this case, this cleanup job was overkill.
Yeah.
That's the kind of sound you want to avoid. All right, here's another one. I have a very small handful of EVPs that I've ever recorded that I consider to be really good. And I thought this was one of my A-class ones. But people hear various things on this one. This is a voice that shouldn't be there. We were not talking. We were in the middle of a cemetery probably about 10 years ago. This is the one I've been holding on to because I still swear I know what it says. Because given the context of what was going on at the time. But here, I'll play it. And then I'll play it a couple times. And then we can talk about it. If I just didn't go completely past it again. See, this is the technical part again. There we go. alphabetical order works. Okay, here we go. Here's the EVP. All right. I didn't edit this one at all. I don't know what all that swirling sound is behind it. That, like, that energy sound behind it. I've heard stuff like that. I've heard pops and,
I've got bangs like that,
that have, like, almost electrical sounds that don't make any sense.
That snaps in and then snaps out.
That kind of swirling sound, I can't explain, but we were outside. It almost sounds like a truck going by. But we were well into the woods in an isolated cemetery in the Pine Barrens. And I was cleaning off a gravestone. I was trying to see. I could see the top date of her birth, but the stone had sunken down, and there was, like, leaves and all debris piled up at the bottom. So I was clearing that off, and I had just put my recorder and left it on, sitting on the top of the tombstone while I was clearing that off to see what her date of birth was, or date of death was.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I hear my mother's 95. And I still hear that. Now, other people hear other things. I don't know. What did you hear?
It's almost like I love you too. Mom, I love you too.
See, I've heard three or four different things. Now, there was only three or four of us out here this night. We were all completely silent in the middle of the woods. So there was no one else talking. We were all busy. As a matter of fact, there probably wasn't anyone really even close to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was at this one stone, you know, moving stuff. So there was, this is definitely a voice that does not belong.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll play it again a couple times.
I'm only 95.
See, I hear 95 clear. No,
I still hear that. It's like, hi, Mom, I love you too, or...
See?
My Mom, I love you too.
B-class EVP.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to skip to one that's a pure A-class, or two, I'm going to do two right in a row, kind of contradictory thoughts here. This one is a private house, so I can't tell you where it is, but this one, pretty much everybody hears the same thing with this one, and again, this is one that hasn't been edited. Now, I know what the file says, the file name, but we've gone past the file name years ago.
Yeah.
Most people hear thank you.
Thank you, yeah.
And when we take a poll at, like, the lectures and stuff, and I probably, like, 90% of the people, or it's usually about 80% say they hear everything that we've heard. But this is one of the ones that everyone hears thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When the person first turned it in, they turned it in as bless you, and that's how they named the file. But even when we first started playing it, no one else ever heard, mm-mm, bless you. We always heard thank you.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of an accent, so it's thank you.
Right.
You know.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Now you can hear again, you kind of got that rattling sound because it sounds like it's so close to the recording device. That would tempt a lot of people to try to play around with it, filter that out, and, you know, maybe even reduce the sound volume, you know, in with the amplify mode. And I don't see a reason why to do that. This is clear enough. You're taking into consideration what we're actually trying to do here. We're getting voices from people who are dead. You know, if we're expecting crystal clear phone calls or messages, we're probably expecting a little bit too much. This, to me, is an A-class EVP, and fine the way it is without any kind of editing.
Well, yeah, because I don't know what the rest of it sounded like, but I'm pretty sure it was probably clearer than that. And all of a sudden you have this really unclear word or phrase being put in there. It stands out, and it has to be something else if everybody else's voices are clearer and not rattly like that.
See, and that's a good point, too. Again, we learn from doing things wrong, mostly, and that's how you adjust your techniques and everything. Some of these older EVPs, you see how we've cut them off right at the EVP before and after. And nowadays, we wouldn't do that because we'd want that a little bit of the background noise, the other people talking, if there were anything, if there was a question asked, mm-hmm, or anything. So you can compare it to the voice itself. Then it makes it stand out more, and you can see why we didn't edit it as much.
Right.
All right. Now, here's the other one that people get a kick out of whenever we play. We play this in every lecture, too.
Oh, yeah.
Damn you! Damn you! Damn you!
Now, I always can judge by the amount of laughter
that everybody gets.
That everyone heard damn you there. That's pretty clear. That's pretty damn clear. We use this one to prove, like, or to make a point about EVPs. That says damn you. Now, a lot of people, or even the person who first recorded that, felt like, oh my God, the spirit's like pissed off at me. If we give this to the people who live there, they're going to think that the spirit's out to get them and trying to send them to hell, or, you know, it's the devil himself there. It said damn you. It didn't say anyone's name, and it's the middle of a sentence. It's two words out of context. We're filling in the blanks.
I've said that when I drop things in my house or somebody spills something, you know.
Right. Suppose this was residual. Suppose this wasn't an active spirit interacting with us. This was a residual damn you. It could have been from any major event that happened there that was enough to imprint the emotion there. But I always use the example of Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
What do they want you to get out? Do they want you to get out of the house? Well, maybe. Do they want you to get out of a deck of cards so they can play poker? That's just as likely of an answer as get out of the house.
Or get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
I want to get through, you know.
I mean, we put the context in. We put get out or damn you. We fill in the blank because we've watched too many horror movies on TV. We've all seen the priest on the stairs at the Amityville Horror movie. And we hear get out, and he gets out of the house, and that's when, so get out now has that connotation to it, and no one's ever going to remove it. But when you sit back and think rationally, we have snippets of a conversation that we can't put any other value to. It didn't say the person's name, didn't say where to get out or what to get out of or anything. So with the damn you, again, it didn't say the person's name, you know, damn you, you know, or damn you, get the hell out of my way, or it didn't say anything. It's two words. Leave it at that. This is why we don't recommend people investigating their own houses. Because it's easy for me to explain damn you or get out to someone who we recorded it in their house. But should I be doing my own investigation and I get something that to me, it could be get out, but it could be something even more, I think, what sounds specific to me or personal or something that happened in my past or some way that I can tie it to me, my brain just runs rampant with it. I'm never going to talk myself out of that.
Well, it's easy to make it personal because you're doing it in your house, so it has to be personal, right?
Right. And then you're now, not only are you now taking that and running with the meaning you've created it, but you're now giving it energy in the spirit and giving the spirit in your home that energy too. And you're always there. Mm-hmm. It's different when investigators come in because they're leaving and they're not, the energy that they give while they're asking questions isn't left there. When you're in your own house, you're interacting with that spirit. You're encouraging it to interact more. You're giving it energy. And now that you've added fear on it, you're now giving it that extra boost, you know, boost of energy too. And it's probably going to do exactly the opposite of what you want it to do, especially if you want it just to be quiet or you were trying to find out a little information, but you weren't that curious. Mm-hmm. You're going to wind up having whenever people come here and they buy stuff, and then we find out they're going to go record, you're going to do recordings or investigate their own house. We actively try to talk them out of buying the stuff because we know that eventually, should they go through with this, you know, probably half of them are going to wind up coming back and being clients of ours.
Mm-hmm.
We actually give them a card mm-hmm. and say, you know, just in case.
Here we are.
And you'd be surprised how many people wind up a month later or so, call up and say, hey, remember I bought all that EVP stuff? Well, I got some weird recordings. Could you guys come out?
Could you listen to them? Or they'll bring them back and say, well, now what do I do?
Yeah, exactly.
Because now it won't stop. But, yeah.
And now it's opening doors or everything else. It's like, well, you know, be careful what you ask for. You want an interaction. Now you're getting interaction. What do you think? It was just going to stop with just the EVPs? Like it knows, oh, it only wants me to say a few words here and then I'm going to be done. It doesn't work like that. You give it that recognition, it's going to take advantage of that. So,
especially if you got one of those spirits that just wants to be funny, you know, and they're like, oh, wait, see what else I can do.
Exactly. All right, let's see what else we got here. I don't know what this one is. This is pot luck.
Want to say goodbye? Want to say goodbye?
Want to say goodbye? Nope.
Don't. I hear don't.
Okay, then we're at a B-class EVP again. But this one is an interactive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's responding to a question. This one, we actually have that night. That was at the Flanders Hotel in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably had about 10 in the Hall of Mirrors. From one investigator.
Yeah.
Asking questions and get it interactive. And they were all pretty much that clear. Now that's... That where there was... It was very quiet. Everyone was very still. So that you can hear there's no background noise. That, again, was not edited.
No, you can hear it's not edited.
And...
You can hear the voice before, so you can see how clear it is.
Right.
And then you can hear the EVP, which is not as clear.
That's the perfect example of how you'd want your clips to wind up being.
Yes.
Especially if you have a question. And then leave that pause in there. And again, there's a pause after the question before the spirit answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get too impatient. Don't expect them to be right on top of your last word. That's why I always pause about 30 seconds or so waiting for an answer. Give them time. We don't know how much energy it takes or the whole dynamics of exactly how they can make the EVPs occur. So some spirits might be really good at it, some might need a little more time. So
and maybe it's a delay for them to hear us.
Exactly, like a repeater, like a radio repeater.
Right, right.
You know, so it's like, assume that. Don't rush through things, whether it's the editing or doing the EVPs. Take your time, you know, and patience. Patience is always, I always use a fishing analogy when it comes to ghost hunting. It always, mm-hmm. and it seems to apply in this case too.
Yeah.
Be patient, sit and wait. You know, and you don't have to remember our no provoking clause. You know, we don't provoke because there's no reason for that. And so far, everything you've heard EVP-wise were either questions or just voices thrown in, conversations, none of which involve belittling, provoking, or saying anything bad about the spirits present. Because you never know who the spirit is. It could have been someone's relative. Obviously, it was someone's relative, but someone's grandmother. Could have been someone who served in the armed forces. So think of all the different possibilities that you are yelling at and insulting when you decide to do provoking just so you can get some EVPs a little quicker. Or if you have some strange fetish for being scratched. And we'll just leave it at that.
Really?
All right, here's another... Hello. Or is that the same one we played in the beginning?
I think that's the same
one. I think it is the same one.
It is.
Let's see what we got here. Here's another one. I don't know what it is.
Look what you did.
Oh, that's a good one.
Look what you did. Look what you did.
Okay, now here there are two EVPs.
Now, see,
here.
That when we play that on the lectures, they cut it off, so you only hear the one EVP.
Right.
I only heard that maybe not too long ago, where there is more behind it.
And the person who recorded this one heard the look what you did, and it was crystal clear. But then there's another a voice that starts talking over the word did, and it's another EVP on top. But he couldn't make out what it was, so he just cut it down to look what you did, look what you did. When you loop it, it's like look what you did, look what you did, look what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we still, no one's been able to conclusively come up with a real good, we probably have like 20 different versions of what the other sentence is.
Yeah.
So that would fall into the C class. But this is not edited. The first one is crystal clear. And then you hear another voice on top of it that doesn't belong. Another good example of...
And two separate voices. Yep.
It's another good example of, you know, how it should have been left, I guess, originally.
Yeah, let it run a little longer.
And probably the beginning could have been left longer because we don't know if this was an interactive one. Did he ask a question? Did something just happen? Like, did he just bump into something or knock something over?
Yeah, did somebody knock something over, drop it or something?
Right,
again.
So you don't know. And the way it was left with the evidence is, now this goes back years too, we don't know because we're only left with the video audio clip that was here. We don't have the whole recording. So, keep in mind when you're recording this stuff, and especially when you're editing it, give that distance and that space at the beginning and after, because that's going to be your reference point. You know, assume you're doing this 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might want to go back and be playing it like on a show like this. And I remember that EVP, but I don't. I'm looking at the title of the EVP. I know which house it was or what town it was in, at least, but I don't know anything happened on or what was going on. I'd have to pull out reports and read, and maybe he wrote something down that went along with the EVP. Maybe he didn't, but I shouldn't have to go through all that. If there was just a little bit of space before that, maybe we would have heard them bump into something, drop something, mm-hmm. or something along those lines, and then you know exactly what the spirit was referring to. If it was referring to anything the investigators were doing at all, because
right.
we're, again, just assuming that because it seems to be directed at us because it came up on our recorder. It may not have been. It could have been directed at anybody.
Could have been residual. Could have been there for
exactly.
years.
Okay, let me scroll down the list here and see some of the good ones we got here.
Little boy. Grandpa.
I don't know if we got him on here.
No.
Yeah, we're going to do another EVP show with some of our more recent ones. These are more older ones, but we have a whole bunch of newer ones that are fantastic. Okay, here we go. Shut up. You heard the heavy footsteps.
The footsteps.
The footsteps was the investigator walking up and down the steps. It was a wooden staircase, no
So they were making too much noise.
Exactly. So well, that's exactly what I would think.
Uh-huh.
Whoever, it sounds to me like he was either running up or stomping up and down the steps. To me, that's just the cadence of the footsteps is annoying to me. Just mm-hmm. listening to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously the spirit didn't like it either and was saying shut up. That would be my interpretation of that because they left that long period of footsteps in there, and then the delayed shut up.
Right.
To me, that's another A-class EVP, unedited, and clipped correctly.
Yes.
Where you get the context of what's going on around it. Okay, let's see. We got a couple good ones from Fort Mifflin. I'm not sure which one's which, but we'll see. Okay, this one is one that there's echo involved. The echo is natural echo. You hear the echo from the investigator's voice, too.
Right.
Interesting, you hear the echo from the EVP, too.
Well, they're in one of the casemates, aren't they?
They're in casemate 5, yeah. Fort Mifflin. Now, this one, you really have to listen to. I'll play it a couple more times. We were able to figure out a name from this. And I'm not sure if I have the other Fort Mifflin one on here, because this was actually a follow-up. No, I don't. There was an initial one that was the investigator asking, is there anybody there or something like that? And you hear a sound like something hitting the ground. And to me, and everyone that's heard it, seemed to think it sounds like an old rifle, which would make sense. This was a Revolutionary War, Civil War era fort. During the Civil War, when it was actively used, the casemates were used as where they put the prisoners. Right. It was basically the prison cells. So you hear something hit the floor anyway, like or a stomp. It could have even been the stomp of a boot.
Yeah.
And it says, halt, who goes there? And we were actually recording with a computer at the time. So we saw a blip in the wave file. We knew that we had gotten a response to that EVP, so we played it back immediately. And we heard the halt, who goes there? So we were able to ask within probably 2 or 3 minutes a follow-up question. Now we don't do that. You can use the RT-EVP, and that does basically the same thing, and you know in seconds
yeah.
that you have a follow-up question. But with this, using this tech, this was something a lot of people weren't doing it because it was a hassle bringing the computer around and everything else. But it paid off in a lot of different cases we did. So this was the follow-up question of, who are you? Now, the name that we everyone agreed on was Jean-Baptiste.
Yes.
Through a couple years of research, the fort was actually able to find out, not that Jean-Baptiste was ever at the fort, But there was a dissident, a political dissident that was against the war, that was in Philadelphia around the time of the Civil War when this was being used as a prison. Now, what they housed in this prison was not only the Confederate soldiers they captured, but political dissidents that were people who were creating problems, stirring up, stirring the pot, creating, political problems for the local community. So, given the fact that they were able to show that there was a man by that name in the area, and that was his, nature of his business being there, stirring the pot, there's a good chance that he may have wound up being
in Fort Mifflin
in those casemates. Yeah. So, normally you don't get anything close to that historical connection. In this case, we were lucky, but it did take him a couple years to actually come up and find that name listed somewhere in Philadelphia. Okay, we got another Fort Mifflin one here. This is one, again, that's
cut off,
but I'll play it a couple times so you can hear it. Now, to me, it sounds like even the last word was cut off.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's listed as "don't come," but I
hear "I'm cold."
Or
if it were finished off, I think that's what.
It's a B-class female voice that shouldn't have been there. There was a question asked, but the investigator cut the question off, so we don't even know what question she asked. It's a shame because it's a crystal clear EVP.
It is.
If they didn't cut off the last word of the EVP, that's just crazy to do that. But, people are trying to fly through these things, trying to, get the best evidence, and in their haste, when they finally get something, I actually deleted an apparition photo the first time I got one.
Ouch.
And it's like, I was just going through the pictures so fast, hitting delete, you're usually not getting anything. I hit delete and then realized, oh my God, I had to get one of those undelete programs and take it out of the recycle bin. A little bit of a nightmare. Yeah, patience, take your time, review your evidence properly and slowly, because you don't want to miss anything. Now here you can hear some normal talking by investigators. Then you hear a little girl talking over top of them. Now I hear I'm crying.
I'm hiding.
This is, be a B class, just by definition, if there's people hear different things. But this is definitely a voice differing from the investigators. She's not yelling, so it seems like she's closer to the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell by the fact that the investigators do not react that...
Yeah, they're having a conversation on their own.
They don't hear anything like that,
yeah,
or anything at all at the time, so... another very, very good crystal clear EVP. This one, the person allowed
enough space
to hear the investigators and didn't try to cut them out.
Yeah.
I'll play it a couple more times here just so anyone wants to decide whether it's I'm crying or I'm hiding. Well, I still hear I'm crying. That's okay, this is going to be another little short and sweet one. Just a single word.
No.
Not what I expected. That's not the one I thought it was, but you hear that. It's one word, but it's repeated.
Mm-hmm. No.
How far did that go? See, that was cut
right
off.
No. Right. Was there more no's there, or was it another word at the end?
And what were the answer?
And what was the question? Exactly. Mm-hmm. A crystal clear EVP? I'd say that's probably A class.
Mm-hmm.
But context. We're missing the context of what it was recorded in.
Mm-hmm.
So, this could have been done a little better. Looks like this was... Just looking at how it's... named, it was a trainee that did it. So this was someone who was just learning, so at least they had an excuse at the time. All right, let's get, we'll get into the next one.
So you should train your trainees better.
Now, only the screaming girl at the end is the EVP. The other voices are the investigators talking. I hear, come on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
She's pretty emphatic about it. It was another one, good edit, because it left, the even though in the beginning it's a little distracting and some people aren't sure which is the EVP, the investigators were talking. They obviously didn't react to anyone suddenly starting to scream because they continued to talk. And that's definitely a young female child, or it could have been a boy too. He's young enough.
Yeah.
Screaming, come on, come on. Or so it's... a very good A class, and again that could have been tampered with and filtered with. Just try to get the screaming, you know, out a little bit, and try to dampen down the other investigators. But then you might have a robotic come on, and you'd lose the whole emotion and humanity.
Yeah,
and sound of that, and that's what you're looking for. That's what makes it real.
Yeah, listening to that EVP, it's like, come on, come play, you know, come on,
hurry right
up. They're excited about you coming on.
Right, you can almost picture them running out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's another one of my favorites.
Oh my God! Coming up.
Okay, with that one, there's two parts to it. There's investigators talking. There's, oh my gosh, then I'm coming up. That's the investigator, because she was at the bottom of the stairs.
Right.
But then you hear a huge exhale.
Yeah, I've never heard that part of it.
Yeah, that's the long version, because it's normally cut down.
Yeah.
These are my original files from the very first lecture CD we made. So they've been tampered with even more later on when people tried to... For time wise, try to make it
fit them in, yeah.
And it's still not—it's not a good thing to do. That one again is pretty, you know, straightforward. You know, everyone hears the same thing. Let's see. Here's another one that's similar to that. I think it's. Yeah, I think it might actually have been the same place.
Thank you.
Are you coming? Now that one, I believe, was recorded the same place. And you see someone did run an editor through this.
Mm-hmm.
That little high-pitched squeal,
yeah.
That's part of... They were just on the border of going too far with the editor.
Yep.
They still kept it where it doesn't sound like a robot, but they could have just cranked back a notch.
Just a little bit.
And they also cut off the talking that was going on around it, which would have gave it better context, and you could tell how loud that voice really was instead of chopping it. That was recorded at the same time with the previous EVP we just played. Let's see. Okay. I think this is the one that... I got two more to play before we wind up here. I'm pretty sure this is the one I'm thinking of, so it won't need an explanation if it is. Now, to give you some context, when that was recorded, we were in Pomona Hall in Camden. It's an old mansion that had been converted over to be the home of the Camden County Historical Society. There was about 8 or 9 investigators there. We were obviously talking in the main hallway. That investigator just left the recorder running the whole time. And when she got home, I remember getting a call in the middle of the night going like, oh my God, you won't believe what I recorded. Because that kid screaming obviously was not heard by anybody.
No.
And there was 8 or 9 adults from our team, and then there was 2 people from the Historical Society there. No one
reacted. Yeah. You could hear that nobody reacted.
No one heard it. No one reacted. No one said anything. And obviously no kids were present. The location, this couldn't have, it's so loud, It's one of those museums that, like, you know, the windows are painted shut and, you know, don't open anymore because it's a historic building. So there was nothing coming in from outside, especially if it was that loud. It would have been, everyone would have stopped, and then you would have heard, like, you know.
Well, yeah, you would have heard a reaction. And you can hear people in the background, and that sounds like it's almost right up on the mic again.
That's another one we like to play at our lectures, too, just for the shock value.
Wakes people up.
Yeah, because the people who are starting to fall asleep definitely, like, jump right out of their chairs. I'll play it a couple more times here. And it's something, I don't know. It's like chilling in a way. Because when I think I was there, and how could I have not heard that?
Heard that, yeah.
It's weird. All right, I'm looking for one more here. Okay. Now this one's going to I'm going to give you a little before and after. You're going to hear voices in here that are talking, okay? There are voices of, crystal clear voices of investigators. A dog, the family dog had just walked up to them. So they are talking to the dog. Then you're going to hear another voice come over top of them, very clear. And then I'll explain the rest after. I'll play this, loop this a couple times, and then I'll explain the rest of it. Okay. The dog walks up. They say, "How are you?" to the dog. The hello that you hear of the little girl isn't there. They never heard her. There is no little girl in the house. There never was a little girl in the house. This was a young couple. This was their first house.
Well, there was obviously a little girl sometime.
At some point. Actually, yes, because the girl, one of their nieces or nephews. We've gotten numerous EVPs in this building, in this house, over years. They weren't afraid of what was going on, so they invited us out numerous times, especially after we got this kind of stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
He had seen a little girl on the staircase and asked, "Who was that little girl?" The problem we were having that they originally called us out for was they crated their dog, and they were finding that the dog was being left out of the crate every night, or when they would go to work, even after they started locking it, pushing furniture up against it. When they finally put like a padlock on it and boxed it in with all the tables and stuff, so there was no way the dog could possibly get out, they found the dog locked in the upstairs bedroom. So they knew something else was going on here. And that's when we were called in. Now, the little side note of this, that word hello is 200 hertz.
That's the one that's below.
That can't possibly have been human vocal cords. So that little girl's voice was not from a living little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play it a couple more times.
Hello, how are you?
And being that far down, it's still crystal clear.
Yeah, and it sounds louder than them,
mm-hmm.
And that's the bonus of doing like the spectral analysis. You're able to see where exactly it falls into the hertz level, and if we didn't know that was not, it would be a cool EVP to begin with.
Yeah,
great A class EVP. But when you know that it couldn't possibly be done by human vocal cords, all the skeptics now shrivel up and shut up because.
Yeah, prove that how that
right.
happened. Yeah.
That's probably one of our biggest pieces of proof is explain this to me, and when you can, let me know. All right, we're going to get ready to wind up here. Next week, we're going to have, hopefully, I don't want to speak for her, but hopefully we're going to have Tina Carlson back on the show. We tried to have her last week, but we had some technical difficulties here. She helps run the Shadowlands with me. And for those of you who don't know, the Shadowlands is 18 years old. We sent out a little thing.
Yeah, congratulations.
Back when it was...
Happy anniversary.
Pre-graphic World Wide Web, back when it was black and white text. So that was nice that we've lasted this long.
Still going strong.
All right, everybody, you hear me pressing buttons and everything. That's because I'm trying to clear all the different screens so we can hand the show over to the next show, which we're about to do. until next week, take care and be safe out there.
Have a good week, everybody.